Silence!
There's Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Daf Kafei Amud Aleph, where the Gemara describes the whole of Sefer Bereishis, the entire first Sefer of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and calls it Sefer Ayosho. Sefer Bereishis is a Sefer Ayosho, it's the Sefer of straightness, uprightness. And the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Shehu Sifron Shel Yesharim, because it's a Sefer that talks about people who were Yesharim, namely Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, because the entire Sefer Bereishis is basically running through the lives of Avram and of Yitzhak and of Yaakov. And as we've mentioned many times, that Torah, the word Torah, the root of the word Torah is Milashon Hira, is based on the word Hira, which means teaching. And the whole meaning of Torah is to teach the Jew a lifestyle, meaning Tariag Mitzvahs, meaning whatever or however you define what Avos Hashem is, or whatever you define what Yiras Hashem is. And if the Torah describes or gives us the biography of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov in detail, then the Torah is obviously not trying to tell us just historical fact, but what the Torah is telling us is that the biographical details of the lives of Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov is the teaching of Sefer Bereishis, and the point of the exercise is that we're expected to learn something from the way in which Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov acted or behaved, and that's what's meant by the Gemara when the Gemara says that Bereishis is a Sefer Yasha. And this Gemara acts as a source for another Maimah Chazal, it's the Tana Dabei Eliyahu, where it says in the Tana Dabei Eliyahu that each and every Jew chayev, which means he's obligated loyma to say, when am I going to act in the way that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov act? The Mefarshim ask on this Tana Dabei Eliyahu, how can the Tana Dabei Eliyahu say that a Jew is obligated to act in the way in which Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov acted? It says chayev, it means everybody. Now obviously there are individuals who are potter from this. The retards, the morons, what Chazal define as being chereshet of a cotton, which covers a lot of individuals. But your average person, right, the intelligent ones amongst us, those who don't have vacuums and vacant spaces between their ears, but have what is known medically as brain cells, are expected, according to the Torah, to be able to constantly check themselves and constantly say to themselves, are the actions that I'm doing reaching the actions of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? And the Mefarshim ask on this Tana Dabei Eliyahu, surely it's a practical impossibility. How are people, normal, everyday people like us, expected that we're going to get to a darga of Avram, or of Yitzchak, or of Yaakov? These were people who sort of like hang around with angels. And we're hanging around with other individuals. So how are we expected to be able to reach the Maisim of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So on two occasions I heard Reb Chaim Shmulevitz speaking about this Tana Debei Elio. And he said the following. He said that there's a pasuk in Mishle. And Mishle was written by Shlomo HaMelech. So this is Shlomo HaMelech talking. And Shlomo HaMelech is defined by Chazal as being Chochem Mikol Adam. Right? Shlomo HaMelech is defined as being the wisest of people who ever existed. And Shlomo HaMelech said the following. If you're lazy, if by nature you are a lazy person, by nature you're not a person who's willing to attempt to achieve something, go and look at ants. Lech el namola otso. A lazy person should go and watch ants. What's so unique about ants? Says Shlomo HaMelech, if Re'ei Drocheho, if you look at the way in which the ants act, Chachem, you will become wise. In other words, if you're lazy and you're looking for a vehicle or you're looking for a method to get out of that state of mind, then think about the ants. What's so unique about the ants? So Chazal, in the Medrash, in the Sefer Bereishis, asked the question. And Chazal say, Shalu, the question was asked, Ma ro shleima lumed, sorry, the lamed. What did Shleima see that he said, you can teach an otzel, you can teach a lazy person minamala from an ant? And Chazal say something interesting, which I have no idea as to what present day anthropology would say, but Chazal say the following, that an ant doesn't live more than 6 months. The lifespan of an ant is 6 months. In the course of this 6 months, say Chazal, the total food consumption of an ant is 1.5 chito, chito mechza, 1.5 kernels of wheat. In other words, an ant lives for 6 months, and an ant consumes during the course of the 6 months 1.5 kernels of wheat. Chazal continue and say the following. The entire summer, which is when the ants appear or come into the world, the entire summer, the ant spends its entire day collecting food. That's all it does. It collects food. And Chazal say that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said that they once found an anthill, and living in this anthill was one ant. In other words, they found a bor, they found a pit, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They found a place, a location, where there was one ant. And they dug down, they invaded or intruded into the ant's home. And they found in this home Shloish Meos Kor, 300 kor of food, Sha'oga, that the ant had collected during the course of the summer. And Chazal say, why on earth was the ant collecting 300 kor of food if the ant doesn't live more than 6 months? Now, so the ant didn't know that he's not going to live more than 6 months? Yeah, he'd been to the levaya of his brothers and of his parents and of his neighbors, right? He knew that the lifespan is 6 months. You ask a guy, what's the lifespan of a human being? So I'll tell you, 70 shana, 80 shana. Sometimes people are zeicher to richas yomim, they hit the age of 90. Sometimes it's zeicher to hit the age of 105, 106, 107. But that's yechidei skula. A guy died just now, was 113. Oldest man in the world, he just died. Right, 113 years old. Okay, but that doesn't happen every day. But nobody thinks that there are individuals in the world who live for 200 years. Right? We know what the maximum is in life. So the ant also knows what the maximum lifespan is. Even if he thinks that he's going to be zeicher to arichas yomim. So why on earth is he collecting so much food if he knows that he doesn't need it? So Chazal say a very interesting thing. Chazal say, Omro, because the ant says to itself, Shema Yigzer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olai Chaim. Who knows? Maybe I'll live much longer than a normal ant lives. So the yearly Muchan Lecho. And therefore, if I'm going to live longer, I'm going to need food. Therefore, that's why he put together all this food. Say Chazal, lefichach, therefore, Omar Shlomo, Shlomo HaMelech said, Lech el Nemola Atzel. If you're lazy, go to the Nomo, go to the Nemola, go to the ant. Afatem, because you as well. Haskinu lechem mitzvahs min ha'edam hazeh, le'edam abor. Prepare yourself with food here, with spiritual food, with mitzvahs, in order that you should have what to eat and what to survive on in ha'edam abor. So Reb Chaim, think for a moment. Or take a pen and paper. And then ask Rav Mishnayos to find out how much a kor is. But, and how many kernels of wheat there are, average kernels of wheat, in a kor. And if you sit down and you make the cheshbon, says Reb Chaim, it comes out the following. That this ant put together 300 kor of food because he was chayshish that maybe the Rebbeinu Shlomo will do a nes and he'll live for a lengthy period of time. Now, in order that he should need 300 kor of wheat, this is, it's not stomach nest, it's nisei nisim. This is going to be a nest which is totally out of whack. It's totally out of the ballpark. Why? Because if you make the cheshbon, in order for an ant to consume 300 kor of wheat, he's got to live around about 700 and something thousand years. So Reb Chaim, and along comes Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech says, learn from the ant. Says Reb Chaim, what's Shlomo HaMelech telling us? Shlomo HaMelech is telling us the following, that there are certain concepts or certain ideas and certain madrigas and certain achievements which, unless it's going to be nisei nisim, are way out of the ballpark of a person. To get to the darga of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is not within the ballpark of a, it's not within our ballpark at all. It's way out. It's going to be a nest that hasn't been such a nest since Kriyas Yamsuf. If any of you guys are going to reach the darga of a Talmud Chacham, never mind Avraham Avinu. So, what's the ant telling us? The ant's telling us that in as much as the ant has no likelihood whatsoever of living 700 and something thousand years, that nevertheless, in order to survive the 6 months, it understands that your objective has to be up there somewhere. There's no way that we are going to survive spiritually the minimum amount of period that we live in this world, klapei nitzchias, without having an objective which is somewhere up there. If the objective in terms of Shmiras Mitzvah, says Reb Chaim, if the objective in terms of Avedis Hashem, if the objective in terms of Yerushalayim is way beyond what's really realistic, then maybe we'll make it within a realistic parameter. But if the objective, if the focus, if the aim is the minimum, then it's a non-starter. And the reason it's a non-starter, you're labeled as being an otzel. That's atzlus. That's simply you're a lazy person. There's no excuses for that. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't allow that to be an excuse because that's atzlus. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't expect that we're going to become an Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, but he expects us to be attempting to achieve that in order to achieve the minimum. One of my Rosh Hashivas used to say that what the Talmud Be'er Yo is saying, according to Reb Chaim, is that the minimum that's expected from a person is the maximum that he can achieve. That's the minimum that Reb Chaim expects from a person. And then a second occasion he added on to this idea, the second occasion when I heard him, he added on to this idea, and he quoted a Sforno. He quoted a Sforno, it was one of the Rishonim on the Chumash, where the Sforno says that Yeshua is described in the Torah as Ish Asher Ruach Boy. He's an individual Asher Ruach Boy. And the Sifone says, what does that mean, Ish Asher Ruach Boy? And the Sifone describes Ish Asher Ruach Boy in the following manner. Muchen lekabel ol pnei melech chayim, that it means somebody who's willing to accept the Ashpo that the Ribbono Shel Olam brings down in the world. Ke'inyan, and if you want to know what I'm talking about, says the Sifone, what I'm talking about is the pasuk which says, B'leiv kol chochem leiv nasati chochma. That anybody who's a Chacham Lev, says Ribbono Shel Olam, I will give him Chochma. In other words, before the Ribbono Shel Olam gives somebody Chochma, before the Ribbono Shel Olam brings somebody to start acting with common sense, before the Ribbono Shel Olam gives the Siyata Lishmaya to a person to start acting in a Seichel Dika manner, the person himself has to be a Chacham Lev. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give Chochma to somebody who's not a Chacham Lev. Somebody who's not a Chacham Lev remains an idiot all his life. The only way in which one can get out of that is if one is a Chacham Lev. So as a Sforno, what's a Chacham Lev? A Chacham Lev is somebody who is Muchon lekabel ol pnei melech chayim. Somebody who's willing to accept ol pnei melech chayim. Somebody who's willing to accept upon himself a darga which is way beyond his capacity to achieve. And if you're willing, if that's the focus, if that's the objective, if that's what a person is willing to see as being an objective, then there's a possibility that he'll get a siyata lishmaya, that Rabbi Shalom will give him common sense, and then he'll be able to achieve not what the objective is, but at least the minimum. And then Reb Chaim added on his final point. And he said that if you look at the language of the Tana de Belio, the Tana de Belio says, person has to say to himself, Mosai Yagiu Maisai, when will my actions be? K'maisei Avaisai, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, right? The actions of Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. And Reb Chaim understood that to mean that we're not dafka talking about mitzvahs asei, we're not dafka talking about mitzvahs leis asei, we're not dafka talking about Yerushalayim, we're not dafka talking about Avos Hashem, we're talking about Maisim Tovim. So the good deeds that a person does. Even though our Maisim Tovim are way behind the Maisim Tovim of the Avos, but nevertheless we still have to try to achieve that. And I understood something else from what Reb Chaim says and what the Tana de Be'er Yo is saying. Reb Chaim understood that when the Tana de Be'er Yo is talking about Maisim, he's talking about Maisim Tovim, the good deeds that a person does. I had a different problem. Because the Tana de Be'er Yo says, Chayev Adam Leimer, that a person has to say. And Reb Chaim understood that Chayev Adam Leimer means that a person has to be Shayef, right? He has to have this desire to get there. And if you haven't got the desire for Gadlus, then you won't get there, even to the minimum. I understood Maisai to mean something else. There's a Pasuk in the Torah. There's a whole parasha in the Torah which is a detailed parasha of Aroyes. There's a whole parasha in the Torah of Yisurei Aroyes. And the Torah goes into detail about Yisurei Aroyes, Parasha Nachraimes. And the Torah says, when I get to these Aroyes, that a lot of them were immoral behavior, which was the norm in the places where the Jews lived. And therefore, don't do this because in Mitzrayim they did this. Don't do this because in Canaan they did this. But before the Torah even says that, there's an introductory pasuk, which comes immediately prior to the parasha of Aroyas in the Torah. And what does the pasuk say? Kamaisa Eretz Mitzrayim, Kamaisa Eretz Canaan lo tasu. That you shouldn't do the actions that you saw being done in Mitzrayim, you shouldn't do the actions that you saw being done in Canaan. And Echaira, before Shema says already, there's a tremendous kasha here. What is the Torah coming to teach us with this pasuk? The Torah immediately continues and gives us a detailed list of specific Isurei Aroyas and says, don't do them because this was Maisa Canaan, this was Maisa Mitzrayim. So what's this general pasuk beforehand, which is said with the nusach kamaisa eretz Mitzrayim and kamaisa eretz Canaan leitaisu? What's that pasuk talking about? It can't be the specific isurim of Aroyas, because the specific Aroyas are laid out in the pasuk, and we're told mefurish in the pesukim that this is maisa Canaan and maisa Mitzrayim. So that pasuk can't be talking about it, because otherwise the Torah is unnecessarily repeating himself. So I think that the pshat is pasuk. In that first pasuk, the Torah is not talking about things which are mugdar, which are defined as being osur, as being mutar. That's not what the Torah is talking about. There are certain things which are osur. That's the list that the Torah gives immediately after. That's all the Yisurei Aroyas which are in the Torah. They are Yisurim. There is Yisurim with an Issa Lav, there is Yisurim with an Issa Kares, there is Yisurim with an Issa Misa. There are a whole list of Yisurim. The first pasuk's not talking about that. The first pasuk's talking about something else. The first pasuk is talking about things which mi ikar adin, you're not going to find in Shulchan Aruch that they are also. There are certain things you open up a Shulchan Aruch, you'll find in the Shulchan Aruch that these things are also. However, there are certain things which you won't find in Shulchan Aruch that are asa. But it's not a Jewish way of behaving, says the Torah. It's kemaisa. It's an act, not an act of isur. It's simply a cultural act which by definition is non-Jewish. Says the Torah, we don't want you doing that either. We don't want the actions which, as far as Shulchan Aruch can be concerned, could be mutar. It doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, and I keep on saying this, that it is forbidden and it is prohibited to stand Shemayna Esra with a cat on your head. You won't find that in the Mishnah Berurah, you won't find that in the Aruch HaShulchan, you won't find that anywhere. But it's obvious that you don't daven Shemayna Esra with a cat on your head, because that's not the way in which a person davens. There are a lot of things which in terms of Shulchan Aruch maybe they're mutter. But it falls under a category, says the Torah, of Maise Mitzrayim, Maise Mekna'am. It's a goyish way of behaving. It's not something that a Jew does. A Jew doesn't behave in that way. Says the Talmud of the Be'el Yo'u, what has to be the focus of a Jew? Says the Talmud of the Be'el Yo'u, what's the identifying factor? What's the uniqueness and the singularity of a Jew? That he's constantly asking himself. That's what the Talmud of the Be'el Yo'u says. Chayev, he's obligated to say before he does something. Either say it out or say it in his mind. Masa yagia maisai la maisai avaisai. Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. When am I going to start acting in Dvarim HaMutorim the way that Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov acted? What's the way that Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov acted? The Gemara tells us a story. The Gemara tells us a story in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara says there was a non-Jew and he wanted to be Megayah. And he came to Shammai and he said to Shammai, I want to be Megayah, tell me the whole Torah on one foot. And Shammai told him, get lost. And he came to Hillel and he said to Hillel, I want to know the whole Torah. I want to know what the essence of Yiddishkeit is. I want to know what it means being Jewish. What does that mean? I know what it means, said the guy, if you're asking me the halakhic definition, it means you either have a Jewish mother or you converted according to Jewish law. But what does it mean, lemaisa? What does it mean, lemaisa, to be a Jew? So Hillel answered him back. And Hillel said to him, you want to know what Yiddishkeit is? I'll tell you the whole thing in one sentence, says Hillel. What is it? Ma da'aloch sane, which usually is translated the Iron Art Scroll. What's hateful to you, L'chavrich le'tavid. Don't do to your friend. That's the whole Torah. Ask all the mefoshim there. Impossible. That cannot be the pshat. Because v'avtal recha kamecha is one prat. It's one detail in the entire complexity of Torah. So how can Hillel turn around to the guy and say, this is the whole Torah? It's not the whole Torah. And what about Shabbos? And what about Kashrus? And what about this? And what about that? So there's a tremendous meeting of the minds here. The Ayah of Yisrael, the Kazrinzer, is one of the great Chassidish Rebbes, brings down the Shem, the Maggid of Mizrich, a pshat in this Gemara. And the individual who was probably the epitome of anti-Chassidus, the Nadi Behuda, says exactly the same pshat. And they both say exactly the same thing. They say, what's pshat in the Gemara? The pshat in the Gemara is the following. Hillel was telling him, I'll tell you what the whole basis of Yiddishkeit is. The whole basis of Yiddishkeit, and what is the defining factor between a Jew and a non-Jew? Wherein lies the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? Madasani aloch, if you want to be a Jew, Madasani aloch, what should be hated by you is that if you do anything and it's not lechavroch, says the Nadi Behuda, what does lechavroch mean? Miloshen chibo. It doesn't connect you somehow with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but it does the opposite. It disconnects you from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Leisav, don't do it. Says Rabbi Yehuda and the Mizrich Magid, what was Hillel telling him? Hillel was telling him the following. Yes, in order to be a Jew and to be an observant Jew, you have to follow Shulchan Aruch. And yes, halachically, if you're born from a Jewish mother or if you convert, you're Jewish. But if you want to know what is the defining factor between the Jew and the non-Jew, the Jew constantly is asking himself the same question before he does anything. What is going to be the result of this action? Is the result of this action going to be that it's going to get me nearer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or is the result of this action going to be that it's going to push me away from the Ribbono Shel Olam? Is the result of this action going to be that it's going to be easier for me to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants, or is the result of this action going to be it's going to be more difficult for me to do what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants? Rav Dessler says in Michtav Meliyahu the following. He says that we have a catch-22 situation. Nobody gets involved in any type of activity if he hasn't got a subjective interest in doing it. Rodessa used to give the following example. He says, a guy walks into a public library. A guy clicks on his computer. Right? If you're interested in something, you'll take that book or you'll bring out that topic. So if you're an avid chess player, right, and you walk into a library or you click on a computer, you will find something which is to do with chess because that's what your whole mind is about. If somebody's totally not interested in the topic of chess, then there's no way he's going to pick up a book about chess. There's no way he's going to click on his computer and find out something about chess. Chess doesn't interest him. Therefore, the starting point of any act of interest in anything is that I am interested in it. The minute I'm interested in it, I'm subjective. I'm negeh b'dover. And therefore, because I'm negeh b'dover, I'm obviously going to come out in one direction. Says Rav Dessler, I'll give you a very classic example. He says there are certain areas in halacha where it's not black and white. There are people who say it's mutter, there are people who say it's asa. He says one of these is whether you're allowed to play chess on Shabbos. There are places who hold it's mutter, there are places who hold it's asa. He says if you're an avid chess player, you will find the poskim that say it's mutter. If you have absolutely no interest in chess, you'll find the poskim who say it's asa. Why? Because if you're interested in chess, you are subjective about it. And if you're subjective about it, you'll always find the heter. And if you're objective about it, then you'll find the issa. If so, says Rav Dessler, how can anybody ever be expected to make a decision which is correct? Any decision that a person makes is constantly going to be a subjective decision. It's never going to be an objective decision. Should I go to place A or shouldn't I go to place A? If I had absolutely no interest in going to place A, then the question wouldn't start. So that means the question only starts because I'm subjectively interested in going to place A, which means I'm in a gabagava. Which means that in my thought process, obviously, I'm weighted on the side of going, which means that I'm going to end up with a conclusion to go. So how can anybody make an objective decision about anything? Says Rav Dessler, because the Ribbono Shel Olam did a tremendous chesed to us. What's the chesed the Ribbono Shel Olam did to us? This says the following. We are masters, all of us, at justifying what we do. Even if we're totally stupid in all other areas, we are Einsteins in creating excuses for what we do and justifying that what we did is the right thing. And anybody who's willing to listen, we will sit outside the door here and we will pontificate for hours explaining why we're right and everybody else is wrong. Says Rav Dessler, that's true. That's because we're subjective, because we want to do what we want to do. But the same guy who's sitting out there, says Rav Dessler, and he's spending hours justifying what he's doing, deep down inside him, and Rav Dessler phrases it very nicely. Yes, he's arguing that this is the emes, this is the emes, this is the emes. But deep down inside him, he knows what the emes la'amita is. He knows what the real truth is. He says, that's the chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam did the chesed, he created it in this way. However much we will justify to ourselves what we are doing, we know that we're justifying to ourselves. Because we will know the truth, because that's the chedek al-kahamimah, that's the spark that exists in the Jew, that he knows the emes. He knows the embers. He just... I was listening to the radio today. I was driving and I put the radio on. There's a conference of Yiddish speakers in Eilat. There's this whole movement here in Israel of secular students who are studying in university Yiddish. It's become a big fad. And they have this big conference. And they were interviewing two of the participants in this conference. The woman reporter who was doing the interviewing is probably the most famous radio personality here in Israel. She is an excellent broadcasting reporter. She is viciously anti-religious. But she's a very good interviewer and she's a very good reporter. And she was interviewing these two students, completely secular people. And she said at the end that Yiddish is not a strange language to me because my parents spoke Yiddish. And she said, it's funny, there was one thing that my parents told me, and they used to say it constantly in Yiddish, and she said, it's gone into my bones, and however divorced I am from observance of Judaism, but there are certain things that I still stick to because of what this phrase that they said to me in Yiddish. And one of the people who was being interviewed said to her, can you say in Yiddish the phrase? She said, of course. She said, my parents used to say, bleib a Yiddish tochter. Remain a Jewish daughter. And I'm thinking to myself, no. Yeah, it may not be in the areas of what we know. But she herself was saying, the emes goes in, and the emes is there, and the emes exists, and we know the emes, as Rav Dester says. The emes la'amitai, it doesn't matter what you're saying out of your mouth, the emes la'amitai, you know. That is what the Tana de Beilio is saying. The Jew has two choices. And it's a very practical, down-to-earth choice. It's not a theoretical, philosophical choice. It's a practical, everyday choice. The Jew has two choices. When it comes to Shmiras HaMitzvahs, when it comes to Mitzvahs Aseh, Mitzvahs Lo Yisaseh, there's a Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch tells you what you can do and what you can't do. You want to do it, do it. You'll get Tzchar and Elam Abba. You don't want to do it, fine, you'll burn. That's your problem. But there's something else. There's a certain definition of being a Jew. There's a defining factor of who is a Jew. And the minute one loses that defining factor of who is a Jew, irrespective of whether one is keeping Shulchan Aruch or not keeping Shulchan Aruch, irrespective of that, the minute you lose that defining factor of who is a Jew, that it doesn't stand a chance in the world that your grandchildren will remain Jewish. They would assimilate. Because that is the criteria of being a Jew, and that's something which a person can pass across to the next generation. And if one doesn't have it, then one can't pass it across. If one can't pass it across, then entire families got wiped out. And we saw that. We saw entire families that got wiped out. Anybody of my age saw entire families where one generation was shomrei Torah mitzvahs, and by the third generation, there was no zecher whatsoever at all of it. Why not? Because of one thing. They didn't manage to pass down the message that it's nothing to do with Shulchan Aruch. There are certain modes of behavior which are Jewish ways of behaving, and there are certain modes of behavior which are not Jewish ways of behaving. And if one adopts what basically is a non-Jewish frame of mind, if one adopts a non-Jewish attitude to things, then at the end of the day, there's nothing keeping the link. And it will disappear. Goyim act in a certain way, and they are entitled to act in that way, because they do not have a nefesh elokis. They are an am hadayim melech hamor, says the Torah. They are basically mules. They can be presidents of the United States, but they are an am hadayim melech hamor. That's what they are. Or as Tosfos describes them on the basis of a pasuk, they are susim, they are horses. That's what they are. And therefore, in the same way as you don't normally see a horse or a mule walking around in a tuxedo, or in a three-piece suit, or even in a shirt and a pair of pants, one doesn't expect a goy to walk around in a pair of pants and in a shirt, because it's an am hadoy melechamor. It's a sus. It's a horse. And if he does, it's a joke. He looks like the guys that the British discovered in India, walking around naked with a top hat. That's the guy walking around with a suit. Because the materials of a guy is a mule, he's a sus. So therefore he can walk around with a towel wrapped around his own. Fine. No problem. When a Jew does it, he's making a statement. I am not a Jew, I am a mule, I am a horse. I am four-legged. Maximum you can expect from me is a grunt and to eat a bag of hay. Maximum. More than that, nothing. Irishmen get drunk on a Thursday night. That is the definition of an Irishman. An Irishman gets drunk on a Thursday night, and on a Sunday night, and a Monday night, and a Tuesday night, and a Wednesday night, and also a Sunday day, and a Monday day, and a Tuesday day, and a Wednesday day, and by a wedding, and by a levaya. In fact, an Irishman gets drunk from the minute he's born to the minute he dies. That's what he does. And probably the world to come for an Irishman is a glass and an empty bottle. That's probably what it is. That's the Gehinnom of the Irishman. Why? Because he's a dam and am hadayim lechamer. What does a horse do? Same thing. Sits by a trough and it drinks water. And then it gets rid of the water through its bodily system and it drinks again. So if a guy's drinking and he throws it up and he drinks again and he throws it up, he's defining himself. I'm a mule, I'm a horse, I'm an Irishman. But a Jew he is not. And therefore he's got nothing to pass across. Nothing at all. And this has nothing at all to do with Shulchan Aruch. And it's nothing to do with, where does it say that it's Asa? It doesn't say that it's Asa. It doesn't have to say that it's Asa. Kemaisa Eretz Mitzrayim. Kemaisa Eretz Canaan. That's not the focus of the Jew. The focus of the Jew is Masa Yavaya, Masa Yagia, Masa Namaisa Yavaisai. On the everyday actions. On the everyday decisions that a person has to make. Do I come to the Beis HaMidrash? Don't I come to the Beis HaMidrash? The question is not do I come to the Beis HaMidrash or do I not come to the Beis HaMidrash? The question is do I want to do something now which has a slight percent chance that it's going to be makar of me to the Ratzon HaBorei or not? If yes, then I'm a Jew. If not, then I'm a goy. It's very simple. It's very clear cut. And yes, we will spend the rest of our lives justifying the actions that we're doing, but it's not going to help us. Because at the end of the day, when there's going to come a point in time, as Shlomo HaMelech said, Smach Bocha B'Yaldasecha, you can have a great time, kid, says Shlomo HaMelech. But at the end of the days, at one point in time, there's going to be a din v'cheshbon the person's going to have to give him. When he gets up and he says, I was right and I was justified, they're going to tell him it's BS. Because you yourself know that you were justifying it for yourself. This week's parsha, and this is what I want to finish up with. There's a very interesting nekuda in this week's parsha. Three times in this week's parsha, the Torah says that God spoke to Avraham Avinu and he told him to do something, and that which he told him to do was in fact a nisoyan for Avraham Avinu. It wasn't something which was easy to do. It was something that required a decision.
And each time it uses the expression halicha. Each time it uses the expression to go, to walk. And the Mefoshim say to walk means to go further, to move upwards. But if you look at these three occasions, you see an interesting thing. They are three periods in the life of Avraham Avinu. The first one, which is Lech Lecha Me'atzcha Me'atzcha, was in the early years of Avraham Avinu. And then there was a Lech Lecha Ve'etomim, and then there was a Lech Lecha Ve'akeda. These were different periods in life of Avraham Avinu. Why? Why is the Torah hammering this message of go at different points in his life? Because this is the psychology of all of us. All of us say to ourselves, I am not able at this point in time for reason A, reason B, reason C, and we got all the reasons to be Ein Bin Nisayim. And you can't expect it from me. And we even get upset and we get angry and we get braggers if Rabbi Lopin would suggest that something is expected from me. But I'll get there, Rabbi, don't worry. Give me a couple of years. You know. Give me my space for half a year, for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months, for 4 months. And then I'll get it out of my system. So then what? Then I won't have any nisyanus anymore, and then it will be easy. Says the Torah, there's no such thing. It doesn't exist. You can be at the beginning of your life, you can be in the middle of your life, you can be at the end of your life, it makes no difference. Life is nisyanus from day one, from the day you're born, to the day that they drop you into the grave. It's a continuous nisyan. It may change. The nisoyan may change. It may be a different type of nisoyan in this part of your life than it is in the other part of your life. But you're constantly in a situation where the fight is the same fight. It's just the subject matter that changes. But the difficulty remains the same difficulty. Don't think for a moment, says the Torah. Just give me my space now, and then I won't have any nisoyanus after a certain period of time, and everything will be fine. It won't. And if a person doesn't know how to be misgaber at an early stage in life, he won't know how to be misgaber at a later stage in life. And if a person doesn't know in the format of the yeshiva, nobody's told do this or not do that. But he doesn't understand what is a maisa that is Jewish maisa and what is a non-Jewish maisa, and he doesn't know how to make that choice, then later on in life, and it's bodika menusa, and we can bring you hundreds of examples, the same thing will happen. Except there, it won't be a shaila of whether I do go to town, I don't go to town, I do this narishkeit, I don't do this narishkeit. There's going to be a different shaila. I do have shalom bayis, I don't have shalom bayis, I do have a job, I don't have a job. That's what it's going to be. But nothing will change.
This one got 10:30.